We've heard what New Orleanians are thinking about tomorrow's election, but how are the two candidates marketing themselves to the voters? NPR's political editor Ken Rudin is watching the race. He joins us from our headquarters in Washington. Ken, welcome.
Hi, Farai.
So Nagin and Landrieu in the ring. The clock is ticking. It's been a long fight, sometimes bruising, sometimes genteel. Sum it up for us.
Well, it's not Lewis and Marciano, that's for sure. And Cheryl Corley made a very good point that it's really not the kind of ugly fight that it could be, given the fact that we've seen historically in many cities around the country, when a white candidate is running against a black candidate, the issue of race just comes up, and you'll hear it from voters, and you'll hear from coded appeals from candidates as well. We remember when Harold Washington was first elected in Chicago in 1983, it was a very ugly, ugly campaign. None of that ugliness, or very little of that ugliness, has come out in this campaign.
Cheryl Corley mentioned that on many issues, these two gentlemen are similar. What really distinguishes them?
Well, exactly right. I mean, it's not their plans to rebuild New Orleans. It's not their strategies to, you know, they both want to create jobs. They both want to rebuild the cities. They both want to repair the levees. It's really a question of personality and style. And that's real, aside from the obvious race, obvious point as of race, which, as Cheryl said. But again, it's a lot of it is just personality style. Mitch Landrieu, you know, even though he's the outsider, he's the challenger, he is the establishment. He comes from a long line of Landrieus. Moon Landrieu, of course, was the last white mayor back in the 70s. And he, the words are that he plays well with others. Ray Nagin, again, is a more of a combative kind of guy. He doesn't go along to get along. He just says what he thinks. He's not a typical politician, and that's either good or bad for him, but that's, again, that's the way the voters see the two candidates.
Tell us about what happens when these two men debate each other. We just had a debate last night. Who do you think won that debate, and how did they address each other?
Well, they've actually been very cordial. They both respect each other. Look, you know, again, the Landrieus are, you know, his sister Mary is a senator there, and Mitch Landrieu is a lieutenant governor, served in the legislature for a long time. And look, pre-Katrina, now, of course, pre-Katrina was a million years ago, but pre-Katrina, Ray Nagin was doing a really, really good job. He created investment. There were more jobs. He was probably a shoo-in for a second term. So they both know each other's strengths, and obviously everybody knows what the issue is all about. It's Katrina and race, so there's no reason to address it in the debates. And I think the two candidates have been very cordial with each other. I don't get a sense that anyone is winning or losing. I'm not sure that any minds are being changed. And some of the debates I've seen, all the focus and the attention were on the moderators, and that was a little ridiculous.
Let's talk about the electorate. You have so many different constituencies, people who live there, people who've moved back, people who may not be sure until the last minute whether they're going to vote. Who is Landrieu's strongest constituency, and what about Nagin?
Well, Landrieu is an unusual candidate. The Landrieu family actually is unusual for Louisiana because they, from the beginning and starting with his father, was able to attract a multiracial coalition. Landrieu was not the number one candidate of the whites in the April 22nd primary, but he did very well among whites, and he did very well among blacks, too. Ray Nagin, as Cheryl Corley again pointed out, was the candidate of the white business establishment 4 years ago, but again, he was running against another African-American candidate. And this year, with his either because of his Chocolate City remark or because that so many African Americans have fled the city, it's become more and more. How do the whites feel about this election, which is so unusual for New Orleans elections? And so Ray Nagin's support has become the blacks and the blacks who have remained. The question is, how many have remained and how many will vote on Saturday?
Looking ahead, of course, we'd like you to make a prediction. So, if that's possible, great. But more than a prediction about who will win, how will this election put New Orleans on a new footing to move forward?
Well, no matter who wins, there's so much work that needs to be done. New Orleans will still never be the New Orleans of old, or at least not in, perhaps in some lifetimes. And again, you know, there's the horrendous warning that just occurred to me yesterday that June 1st is the beginning of the hurricane season. Is the city prepared for another Category 4, Category 5? I would think not. So no matter who wins the election, Nagin or Landrieu, they have their work cut out for them. Now, of course, everybody's saying that what kind of message will be sent out if Nagin or Landrieu wins. as I alluded to earlier, nobody knows who's going to win. If you looked at the polling, the polls right before the April 22nd primary, Nagin underperformed. In other words, that a lot of people thought he would just do not so great, and yet he wound up with 38% of the vote in the primary, 9 points better than Landrieu, a bigger spread than most people thought. Usually, when there's a black and white candidates running against each other, it's black candidates who poll better, but then whites wind up voting for whites in the ultimate election. That didn't happen with Nagin. So Landrieu had...
So basically, it sounds like everything is a toss-up. We're going to have to come back to you, Ken. Thanks so much for talking to us. That's NPR political editor Ken Rudin.
Thanks.